Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Radcliffe, and it is Friday, September 22nd. We're going to get you set up on today's podcast for Week 3, the remaining games on the slate, what you need to know to set those starting lineups. And I'm not going to beat around the bush and do one of those stupid 10-minute introductions where I talk about some crap that you don't care about. We're going to dive right in. And the first game on the list here, the Tennessee Titans heading to Cleveland to face the Browns. I have Cleveland winning 21.9 to 18.8. Derrick Henry popped up on the injury report yesterday with a DNP. He's dealing with a toe issue, but it was being called rest, so I wouldn't be overly concerned. And honestly, I mean, if you have him, you're using him. But I'm getting a lot of questions about Tajay Spears. And I think it is worth at least mentioning Tajay Spears is a handcuff, so his value is only implied. Like, you can't start Tajay Spears right now. He's RB44 for me this week. However, if Derrick Henry went down, you better believe Tajay Spears is a top 20 back. I had somebody ask me, who would you rather on your bench, Elijah Mitchell or Tajay Spears? And it's like, doesn't matter. They're the same guy. Like, yeah, they aren't, but they don't have value unless the starter goes down. They only have implied value, so it really doesn't matter. Like, I could say Tajay Spears, and guess what? If Christian McCaffrey went down next week, he doesn't have as much value as Elijah Mitchell, and vice versa. So just keep that in mind when you're using your bench spots. Implied value doesn't mean anything until it comes to fruition, and that may never be the case. On the other side, and by the way, DeAndre Hopkins also on the injury report. Keep a close eye on that one. That one's a little dicey right there. On the other side, Jerome Ford gets the start this week, and Kevin Stefanski made it clear he's the dude, not Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt is going to play, but he's a complimentary piece. Jerome Ford at RB21 for me. It's a rubber meets the road kind of game for Deshaun Watson. I do have my quarterback 12, but over this first month of the season, we are evaluating these guys, and if he doesn't get it done this week, the evaluation isn't too good. So check back on Monday for that one. Amari Cooper, wide receiver 22, he's dinged up but should be good. And I think David Njoku's in a good spot here, tight end 11. Atlanta-Detroit, I have Detroit winning 25.9 to 22.0. On the Atlanta side, we have Bijan Robinson, who's awesome. Drake London, who's in a great matchup. I talked about that yesterday. But let me talk about Kyle Pitts very quickly here. So the metric numbers are saying a huge game is coming. I don't know when it's coming, but the numbers say it's coming. And why am I saying that? Well, flat out, air yards. I know you're not in a points per air yards league. You don't have to tell me about that. I get it. But the air yards are indicating an explosive game is brewing for Kyle Pitts. Tight end 9 for the week. We're continuing to evaluate that offense. On the other side, and you could possibly flex out Tyler Algier, by the way. On the other side, does not look like David Montgomery's going to play. Amon-Ra, however, got back into practice. He's a top 10 option this week. So with no Monty, we will see Craig Reynolds, but not enough to flex him out. At least I don't think so. So really, this is a Jahmyr Gibbs rubber meets the road. I have him at RB10 for the week. Just get him 15 touches. That's all I'm asking for. Get him those touches, and we are good to go. Sam Laporta, a top 10 fantasy tight end. New Orleans, Green Bay. I have Green Bay winning this one 22.2 to 19.4. The backfield in New Orleans is a bit of a mess. Kendre Miller and Tony Jones will share the workload. I don't want to use either of them. I don't care how banged up I am. I really don't want to use either. They're both outside of the top 36 for me right now. So it's really Chris Olave and Michael Thomas who are usable on that side. On the other side, Aaron Jones got back into practice yesterday, and Christian Watson got back into practice today. They both could be out there this week. Now, it'd be good news. Aaron Jones would be a top 15 play if he is good to go. Christian Watson, I want to wait on. And honestly, I don't want anything to do with the wide receivers right now because they're spreading the ball around a little bit. So really, it would be Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon be the only thing I'd really want to use in this contest. I want to see what we have with Watson before I use him. Denver, Miami 28.5 to 20.9. On the Denver side, I mean, Russ is trending up after last week. Let's see if he can sustain it. I think you can use Jerry Jeudy as a wide receiver three, Cortland Sutton as a flex. Javonte Williams, my only concern here, Samaje Perine outsnapped him last week. They tied in snaps the week before. So that keeps Williams in flex territory. He's RB28. Samaje Perine, RB34 right now for me. On the other side, Jalen Waddle got back into practice today. So unlike Anthony Richardson, who I will talk about in a few minutes here, Waddle has a chance to play. If he plays, I love his matchup because he's going to face one of the worst corners in the league. If he doesn't play, there really isn't anybody to fill in there. And yes, the matchup is tough for Tyreek Hill, but I don't care. It doesn't matter. Honestly, it doesn't matter. Tua, a top 10 option, and Raheem Mostert, a top 12 option in this contest. The projected highest scoring game of the week, Chargers-Vikings. Vikings 28.0 to Chargers 27.7. So not only a high scoring game, but a close one at that. This one is start him if you've got him, especially on the Chargers side. Does not look like Austin Eckler is going to play, by the way. So I have yet to adjust rankings. I just saw the news right before I hit record that Eckler was not going to practice today. So Joshua Kelly will likely be around about a top 20 option. So he'd be a mid-range RB2. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Justin Herbert, love all those guys in this matchup. Love Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, and even Jordan Addison as a fringe wide receiver three. But let's talk about the backfield for the Minnesota Vikings. We have heard from Wes Phillips, who is the offensive coordinator of the Vikings, that the team didn't lose confidence in Alexander Mattison. That's not why they traded for Cam Akers. So much like what I said on the podcast yesterday, this sounds like a depth move. And honestly, Madison's first two matchups were brutal. This one is not. So let's see how he does in this one before we jump to too many conclusions on Madison. New England and the Jets. So we go from the projected highest scoring game to the projected lowest scoring game, 19.8 to 18.0. Uh-oh. Don't get your popcorn ready for this one. I don't like much of anything to do with this game whatsoever. In fact, I think there are only two playable options, one from each team. Oh, yes, I said two. Ramondre Stevenson, who I have at RB12. I honestly do think, even though it's a tough matchup, they're going to run the ball a lot. Actually, you know what? I digress. There are three because Hunter Henry is tight end 12 for me. So he's in. But the other side, Garrett Wilson's the only one I have moderate confidence in, and I still only have him at wide receiver 25. Yes, that is correct. I am not overly confident in Breece Hall. Breece Hall is still coming off the injury. Breece Hall facing a brutal matchup. Breece Hall, 16 snaps last week, Dalvin Cook, 15, and Michael Carter, 15. That is a three-headed monster. Not a good spot for Breece. Not a great game for fantasy in general. Buffalo, Washington, I have Buffalo winning 26.7 to 18.6. Big spread there. Of course, you know Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, they're in. Looked like for a moment we might have a little boost for Dalton Kincaid, but Dawson Knox did get back in practice today. So Dalton Kincaid's on the outside looking in terms of the tight ends, playable tight ends this week. He could be a streamer, but I don't love it. James Cook is not going to get goal line carries, and guess what? It doesn't matter. He's still a great fantasy option. A lot of juice with this kid. Gabe Davis, I hope you know what you sign up for when you draft Gabe Davis. It's a wild ride. Any given week could be a big week. Any given week could be a bad week. And there's rarely anything in between with Gabe Davis. I've met wide receiver 36 this week. On the other side, I do like Brian Robinson as a flex option. The last 2 weeks, I've said these feel like Robinson games. This week feels like we could see a little more Antonio Gibson. Not enough to use him, but don't be surprised if Antonio Gibson has the most touches he's had all season, you know, through the first three games. After this one, in this one. Terry McLaurin, wide receiver 34. Jahan Dotson, wide receiver 37. Not a particularly great matchup here for Washington. All right, up next, let's head to the Houston-Jacksonville game. Jacksonville 25.9, Houston 18.1. On the Houston side, we're getting a little bit of workload management in practice for C.J. Stroud. I don't really love him in this one. This defense that he's facing is pretty solid, so keep that one in mind. Nico Collins at wide receiver 30, but C.J. Stroud only at 25 among quarterbacks, so he's on the outside looking in super flex. I'm going to sit on Tank Dell for this one, not going to play him, see how he does this week. I'm not going to chase last week's points. Damian Pierce only RB30 here. On the other side, well, it's much more interesting. ETN should absolutely feast in this game, RB7. And as of right now, it looks like the Texans are going to be without two of their top three corners. Derek Stingley is going to miss time. Tavier Thomas also injured and unlikely to play. So giddy up Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk. We don't know if Zay Jones is going to play just yet. He did not practice on Thursday. That was his second missed practice of the week. So we could just see a lot of Ridley, Kirk, and Evan Ingram. Ridley, a top 12 play. Kirk, once the Zay Jones news comes out, if he is, in fact, inactive, Kirk will likely be top 24, and then Evan Ingram is tight end 7 for the week, and that's unlikely to move. Good spot there. Really good DFS spot, by the way. Indianapolis, Baltimore at Baltimore, 25.2 to 16.6, and yes, that is accounting for the Anthony Richardson news. He will not play this week. We will get Gardner Minshew, and honestly, Minshew could be a Superflex streamer, so you got that going for you. I don't think it hurts Michael Pittman. I have met wide receiver 26. And Zach Moss, since he was the only running back to play for the Colts last week, is up at RB18. On the other side, Justice Hill looking unlikely to play. So Gus Bus could be a top 24 running back. I haven't adjusted rankings just yet, but I get the suspicion he'll come in around 22, give or take 21, 22, something like that, back end RB2 in a nice matchup. Obviously, Lamar's still a top 5. We know what his ceiling is. We're using Andrews every week. The only other player of note here is Zay Flowers. Great matchup for him. Comes in at wide receiver 28. Very playable this week. Carolina, Seattle. Seattle 24.6 to 18.5, and the Red Rifle is in. No Bryce Young, so Andy Dalton will start this game. I do not like pretty much anybody from Carolina like usual. Only Miles Sanders. It's a great matchup for Sanders. He's RB20. I'd love to see him get something done in this game because, Seattle, they've really struggled against the run going back to last season as well. Keeping an eye on DK Metcalf. The word is that he's supposed to play. He is dealing with a ribs issue, but he is supposed to play. He will be front-end wide receiver 2, Tyler Lockett more of a mid-range wide receiver 2, with Geno coming in at quarterback 11. However, I do expect to see more of the run game here, so there's a little bit of cap on the passing game upside. Kenneth Walker coming off a 2-touchdown game at RB9 this week, a niner. Chicago, Kansas City. Kansas City, 30.0. That is a huge number in projections, by the way, to 18.1. If you drafted Justin Fields, I think we have... Well, here's the thing that I've noticed. A lot of people at this time are trying desperately to solidify their rosters, blah, 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 via trade, waivers, a lot of trade. And what I've noticed is quite frequently people are trying to fix mistakes from their drafts. The roots of our problems lie in our drafts. Drafting a quarterback in the middle rounds or even early rounds, I know some people drafted Justin Fields in like the 5th round, is a mistake. There's a reason why I say I need at least 3 rounds of value on these guys to even consider them. And even in those instances, I may not consider drafting a quarterback there. Because think about it. You drafted Fields in the 5th round. You know what else you could have drafted in the 5th round? You could have drafted a tight end. You could have. There are tight ends there. Now, you may not have, it may have been Waller and not Kittle, but whatever. You could have addressed that position, which I'm sure if you drafted a quarterback in this range, you're probably hurting a tight end, right? You're going from Musgrave to Chigakonkwo to, you know, that whole David Njoku, you know, that whole routine. It's a drafting problem that I think people need to address for next year. Now, by the same token, Justin Fields, I still miss a top 10 option. This should be a good spot for him. And honestly, this is a rubber meets the road game for him. I want to give him a full month to evaluate him. And if this one is bad, he gets one more shot after this week and that's it. DJ Moore, wide receiver 27. I still have Khalil Herbert ahead of Roshan at 35. Roshan is at 41. That flipping could happen at any point. On the other side, Mahomes, Kelce, duh. Pacheco is good. He just had a hamstring bruise that he was dealing with. He's at RB25. I don't want anything to do with the wide receivers. Dallas and Arizona. Dallas 26.9, Arizona 14.8. On the Dallas side, love Pollard and CeeDee Lamb. I think you could potentially stream Ferguson, and Dak Prescott's a top 12 option this week because of the matchup. The other side, James Conner's fine. Even in bad games, he's good. And most of their games are going to be bad games. Marquise Brown is on the outside looking in, maybe a flex option, but I just don't like the quarterback situation. So the only other usable option is a very high floor, low ceiling option in Zach Ertz. Have him at tight end 14. If you picked him up, he's usable. Pittsburgh and Vegas. I have Vegas winning this 22.2 to 20.3. Let's talk on the Vegas side. Davante Adams is good. The matchup is great. Jacoby Myers is good. He's going to play. Matchup isn't quite as good as Adams, but it's still pretty good. So he's at wide receiver 40 currently. Could slide up closer to wide receiver 3 territory in my next update. I actually just got the news that he's good to go before I hit record here. So sometimes we do this stuff, you know, on the fly. But anyway, so Josh Jacobs. I had mentioned this on Wednesday's show, and the whole model absolutely loves Josh Jacobs here. He's at RB4, and you might think that's crazy given the fact he had negative rushing yards last week. Well, he did contribute in the passing game, so there's that. But this is a defense that has gotten torched on the ground so far, so that's why the model really, really loves him. And this is another one. If it doesn't happen this week, all right, then we're going to have to really reconsider things. But I'm not there yet, and I'm willing to roll with this dude. On the other side, George Pickens, the de facto number one at wide receiver 18. We know what his ceiling is. Pat Freiermuth, the top 12 option at 10. Najee Harris. Well, he has not looked particularly spry so far this season, but he is at RB22. It should happen in this matchup, but I also have Jaylen Warren as a flexible option at RB32. Kenny Pickett, only quarterback 22. He's a super flex option. Philly and Tampa Bay. Philly 25.6 to 20.2. You know you're using Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. But let's talk about the backfield. So Kenneth Gainwell got limited work in yesterday. Let me see if I can find I don't have a practice report for today yet. I do know that Boston Scott went DNP yesterday with a concussion, but was limited today, so he's trending towards getting back. So they could have DeAndre Swift, Kenny Gainwell, and Boston Scott. We saw that in week one, Gainwell dominated touches. However, DeAndre Swift is the reigning NFC Offensive Player of the Week. So what do you do if you're Philadelphia? It is tricky. It's a bad matchup. We know Tampa's run defense is no joke. But if I had to use one of these guys right now, and famous last words, it is DeAndre Swift. I am still rostering Kenny Gainwell, though. On the other side, love Rashad White, just in general. Not the best matchup, but at RB16, plenty of volume for him. And especially love the Baker Mayfield effect on Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Has been quite good there. Mayfield, quarterback 19, so he's in play in Superflex. And then Evans, wide receiver 17. The ceiling is still there. Chris Godwin, wide receiver 21, not quite high of a ceiling, but the volume, eventually this is going to convert over to some fantasy points for us. Rams, Cincinnati, my projections have Cincinnati 23.3 to 18.5. I get the suspicion that the Rams win this game, though, and that's more of a subjective, not a projections take. It's a subjective take, but I don't know. That one's going to be pretty fun, even though, you know, I don't know if Burrow plays. The Rams are obviously haven't been a marquee, weren't a marquee team coming into the season. But, hey, I'm not going to second guess Puka Nacua, who's at wide receiver 12, Kyron Williams, who's at RB8. That is crazy that these guys are top 12 options at their positions, but they are. They're every bit of it. And Tutu Atwell at wide receiver 35. They're all playable. Matthew Stafford, playable in Superflex, quarterback 18. But obviously, I bury the lead here because we don't know if Joe Burrow is going to play, and it doesn't sound like he's going to. Just flat out doesn't sound like he's going to. So Jake Browning likely get to start, and people are like, you really have him at quarterback 20? And it's like, yeah, I do, because he has Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and Big Irv and Joe Mixon. And yeah, I do. Now, Ja'Marr Chase, still a top 10 option. T. Higgins down at wide receiver 23, but both of those guys are playable, even with Browning in there. And Mixon is a top 10 option. Now, Browning could give you some help in Superflex, but of course, like anything, check back on Sunday for the latest rankings updates. Of course, I put the last bit in at about 12:30 Eastern, so about a half hour before kickoff, you get all the latest rankings updates there at FTNFantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter. And I wish you a happy IPA Friday and enjoy what you have going on this weekend. Enjoy the football. Don't do anything crazy. And maybe, just maybe, enjoy the football instead of being angry all Sunday. Enjoy it. It's a beautiful game. All right. I'm going to be back on Monday. I'll unpack everything that I see, all the stuff that I've learned, and we'll just take it from there, heading into week 4 next week. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.